Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost the sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you have any questions or show ideas, you can send us an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Please also check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. My book is on Amazon. You can order straight from there. If you would like an autographed copy, please contact me again at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight I have such an exciting show. I have Peter Wolfinger on the phone. He is a reality comedian. I've been trying so hard these last couple of weeks to get Peter on my show, and finally everything came together. I have been following his career on Facebook, on social media, and I just had to have him on the show. He's such an inspiration, so funny, and so realistic. Peter, welcome to Insight into Healing.
Thank you. How you doing?
Very good. Oh. Very good. It's just so amazing to have you on tonight. I've been following you on Facebook. Please tell our listeners how you got started and what exactly a reality comedian is.
Well, it's just I got started doing this stuff a long time ago, a few years ago, and I would just, I don't know, I was going through some tough times and just figured I'd make everybody laugh and started up these little videos that I would do, and then it just started from that. And a reality comedian is just something that you take, you know, the reality of life and you try to put a spin on it and try to make everybody laugh about it. And yes, that's where and how I got started, and what I try to do is just seriously just put a smile on everybody's face, but at the same time bring up important issues.
Yes. And what I find so much is you're based out of New York, Long Island, New York. You cover topics and events that are local, but also worldwide, nationwide, which I find is so incredible. I think it's stuff that we can all relate to, and also very informational and educational, but with a comedic spin on it.
Yes, the local stuff is, you know, even though the Long Island stuff, the local stuff, it actually, it's the same everywhere you go. But not exactly. I mean, Long Island is, for example, the highest tax place in the nation. Between Suffolk County, Nassau County, and you can even take Westchester County for that, which is upstate, it are the highest tax places in the nation, and we have nothing to show for it. And everything is a money grab. And I try to put a spin on it. You know, I yell, I scream, but I laugh. Some of it's funny, like the way I do it. Just to bring attention to people to show up to local meetings and, you know, stop some of the corruption that goes on. Because a lot of times politicians will go in and just add fees. And just, you know, they'll look around the room and there's nobody to object to it. So they just add it on because it helps their agenda. And as a result, and the reason being, is because people in those areas that I mentioned are working around the clock just to live there. And they don't have time. And our politicians know that, and they just jam all this money down our throats that we have to pay. For instance, I'll give you a new one that just came out. The window tint law, that now if your car has window tints in the front windows, it doesn't pass inspection. Well, golly, why would you do that? They say, well, it's to protect our police officers. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. I'll tell you why. Because if you noticed, a few months ago, all our executives up in Albany gave themselves a raise, right? They all gave themselves a raise to 100 grand a year or more. Where is that money going to come from? Well, we can't really tax them anymore because they're just so overtaxed. We got to come up with something. So they came up with this window tint law, which infuriated me because both my cars have window tint on it. And they're both brand new. So now I have to, in order for my car to pass inspection, I have to take the window tints off. And it costs money, but they get to tax that money. Then if you're caught with the tints now, after January 1st, the cops pull you over if he really needs to build up his quota, and he writes a ticket, which is revenue for the area. Big money grab. Pissed me off to no end. It really did. I said, you know, this is disgusting. And it's one of the things that I get very upset about, because now, all right, for example, if you bring your car in, it's got the window tints, you go for inspection, and it fails inspection, you still have to pay. They give you a red sticker. You still got to pay for that. Then you have to go have the window tints removed, come back, and then for it to pass inspection, you got to pay again. It's very sneaky. So I put a spin-off on that. And things of that nature are what get me going. And
I love the one you recently did with, I guess they were deer or fawn that were in a park or a reservation, and you were giving them some bread or some crackers. I mean, it was beautiful, but it was hysterical at the same time.
Well, because the squirrel police were coming. Now, I got to be honest with you. I did that on purpose. I brought the saltines knowing that they're going to come. They come. I do this. I shouldn't admit to this because it's, like, incriminating, but I do try to, like, feed them every now and then because they're always out there. And we've overbuilt on Long Island to the point that these deer are hungry. There's nowhere for them to eat. So it's like, okay, well, you know, and I happen to sit down there with my coffee, and they come right up to the car roller car, so I'm like, here's a saltine. I feel bad for them. And they just, because if you don't, they just stare at you, you know, and I like to sit down at the beach in the morning and have my coffee when I'm off. And you feel guilty because they look at you like, you got anything for me? And you're like, here. And you got to hurry up and do it fast, because if the park ranger catches you, it's a big fine.
Oh, yeah.
And
I would feed them, too. I'm the same way. But I think everyone would feed them. I mean, they sit there and they look at you. They're cute. And you know they're hungry and it's cold outside. So you can give them an extra couple of saltines, make their day.
But it's bad. Because it also makes them trust humans more. But they're so they're already adapted to humans, so there's nothing you can really do about it. You know, and you feel bad. Like I said, they sit there and they stare at you. And believe it or not, foxes do the same thing. There's foxes that come up to the car. I have a video from last year, the year before, where a fox, beautiful-looking fox, I mean, walked right up to me like it was a pet dog, and I'm feeding him crackers. It's crazy. I had that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then beautiful,
like Dr.
too,
Doolittle.
Red with the black. It's not just me. There's other people that do it, too. And they're used to it. They just come right up to you. You know, it's a campground, so it's how it is. I do love doing that in the morning, though, but I should admit to that. I shouldn't. No, the squirrel police.
You have to be careful. What I think the international scam you actually covered, which I watched your video, I was hysterical, about the IRS. Remember, they were leaving people's phone numbers and address and messages on people's voicemail that you owed $30,000 and the IRS was coming after you.
Yeah.
You were incredible in that video.
Oh, I get them all the time. They're the best. They call, and what really gets me is that so many people fall for it, and they end up sending the money. That they're scared. They're like, what do you mean I owe taxes? And, you know, if you get, like, the unsuspecting couple or person on the phone that's not, you know, all they don't know about this stuff, they get frightened. They'll go and they'll do it, and they send these people money. And the funny thing is they call me, and I just abuse the living daylights out of them every time they call. I'll send them on a roll. I even go as far as have them send me checks. This you're going to like. Because let's say you sell something on Craigslist, right? All of a sudden you get, hey, is this still for sale? You're like, yeah, all right, it's a ladder. I'm selling it for $40. So they tell you, I'll give you $70. You know, I'm going to mail you a check. Can you send $30 back to me for shipping, and then it'll pay for shipping? I'm like, sure, no problem. Send me the check for $70. So now it costs the scam artist money to send it to your UPS. It costs the scam artist to make this certified check, this fake certified check. Then they send it to your house, and I take it, and then they contact me back again through the email. Did you get the check? Absolutely. You're going to cash it? No, up on the phone, because now I'm costing them money, and I feel I'm getting even, you know, for them ripping off everybody else.
That's a great idea. I never thought of that.
Yeah, make them send the check. Make them go through the whole thing. Let them finish the whole scam. And you just don't send them the money, but let them go through the whole thing. Let them go through the whole process. Let them even send you the fake certified check. Let the money come out of their pocket. Give it right back to them. That's all. I had a stack of them.
Yes. Can you hear about the one? There's one about the secret shopper. That's another scam. And they will send you a check for $1,200. $400 is for you to go to these different restaurants or stores and purchase things and stuff like that. And they want you to you know, obviously once you put it in your banking account, they've got all your information and you're a goner. But they will actually send you all this information about being a secret shopper and send you a check for about $1,200. And it's such a scam.
Oh, yeah. I haven't fell victim to that or had them contact me for that one yet. But I haven't researched that one too much, but I have done the IRS, you know, where they call me, one where they're offering to loan me money. There's a video I put up with that, telling him I was going to open up a strip club with it. And he's just like, what? I'm like, yeah. Send me the 25 grand. I'm going to open up a strip club. And the guy's like, what? I don't understand. And I feed them on. I record the conversations. And, you know, I don't want to get fresh on here on the show, but if you listen to the video, it gets pretty raunchy with me and the guy with the broken accent. And we'll
yes,
have a good time.
Yes, for IRS.
Yeah, I give it to him good, too. He called me an a-hole. He got so
yes,
mad
he
called me an
a-hole. Yes, he finally understood
it.
I'm wondering if that accent was real. Do you think that accent
was real?
If he really was from that descent?
Yes, he was from India. They got caught. That whole organization got shut down. It was actually in the news. They shut them down. They got caught. And if you noticed, it's actually stopped for a while. You haven't received many. They caught millions of them right there in India and just shut it down.
Wow.
Oh,
amazing. And I bet you were part of that.
No, that was all real. That was an authentic call. He called me, and and my wife will tell you, I do it all the time. Whenever they call me, I abuse the living daylights out of them. I hit the record button on the phone, and then I have a conversation with them for as long as I can keep them on there. I drive them nuts.
Well, you have to. Hopefully it teaches them a lesson because, you know, especially with the telemarketers and you get all these people, you know, they go after the elderly or the one, you know, grandparents or something, that whole scam about send your grandchild money. They're stuck in Mexico or somewhere and they're being held in jail or hostage.
Yes. You keep them on the phone too, because remember, your phone has unlimited minutes, right? Daytime, talk time minutes. They don't. So they have to pay their trunk line. They have to pay for that phone bill. So you keep them on as long as you can, so it racks up their bill. I try to keep them on for at least an hour if I could, knowing full well they're paying by the minute.
Wow.
Yeah,
where
my
can
way of
people
back
see your videos?
You could go to YouTube. I put some of them up on YouTube. YouTube, you can go to, you know, type in Peter Wolfinger or www.peterwolfinger.net, and you can find some of my videos on there on YouTube. You can follow me on Facebook, Peter J. Wolfinger or Peter Wolfinger on Facebook. And for those that don't know the spelling, it's the last name is Wolfinger. And you could just find me on there. You'll see me standing in front of my Jeep on the beach. That's me. And you see that picture, then you know it's me. And the YouTube one, I'm standing in a gazebo. That was the local beloved town gazebo. And there was actually a lady. If you look on my YouTube page, the whole thing behind that picture was she was in control, and she was like the psychotic woman who just like tried to run the whole town and like threw me out of the community page because I voiced my opinion on something that I thought was corrupt going on. So she even went as far as telling me not to go in the gazebo. So that's why I jumped in the gazebo and took the picture of me with the thumbs up, like I'm in your gazebo. That's the story behind that picture, but not many people know that. So I put it on YouTube. So every time she goes on there, because you know when somebody hates you or they don't like you, they stalk you even more. So that's why I did it. I put it up there. So she probably looks on that thing every day, sees me standing there, my pushing the finger up, you know, giving the thumbs up, like, how you doing?
Trying to figure out how to get that picture.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably like, I told him to stay out of that gazebo.
I love
silliest
it.
Stuff I
do. Do you feel like you're going to take your show on the road?
A lot of people tell me that or ask me that. And the funny thing is, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I have some things that are going on personally. It may come out public. It may not. It's a legal battle. It's something that's going on personal in my life. I can't get into the specifics of it, but I have to wait and see what happens with that. Providing what happens with that, I may actually start to go and take it on the road. I might do it. I just got to wait for the outcome. And
okay.
That's what we're waiting for. It's something, it's a very touchy subject. It's, I can't say a word about it, but just know that it may or may not come out public, and hopefully it doesn't in my eyes, and it just gets rectified, and because I don't like all of that, my personal business out there, but unfortunately this may or may not have, may come out. And that's where that goes. Yeah.
It's tough. I hope it works out for the best. But, I mean, I think you definitely have to take your show on the road. It's just incredible.
I want to. It takes a lot to do it. It takes a lot of guts and courage to do it. I don't know if, you know, if you see some of the guys that are on Facebook, I follow them. Like, for instance, George Gallo. He's the one that did the Sore Losers thing. Yes, he's hysterical. Now, he's on the road. My other friend, Manny Arias, they call him Tugboat Manny. He does all the open mics locally. It takes a lot of courage to go up there and do that stuff. And, I mean, I have it. I've never done it. So I don't know if I'd be any good. You know what I mean?
You would be excellent. I mean, I just love it. I love the one that you just recently did about the Golden Globes and Meryl Streep. And I think you really put an educational spin and also a real moral spin on that whole fiasco.
Yes. The Meryl Streep thing. What gets me with that is, like, Hollywood claimed they were going on strike, and I laugh at the whole thing because I think it's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. You know, you're making millions and millions of dollars, and you're going to go on strike. But the Meryl Streep thing, what gets me is her actions were selfish. Now, whether it's against Trump or Hillary, it doesn't matter. You went up there, and you took away everybody's thunder. Every person that was there to receive a Golden Globe, you took away their thunder. Knowing full well what you were doing was going to be front page news. Knowing full well what you were doing was going to be all over the television the next day. So now all those people that worked very, very, very hard for the Golden Globes didn't get the recognition they deserved. Say you didn't hear about who won. You didn't hear about who got what. All you heard about was Meryl Streep, Meryl Streep, Meryl Streep. It was a selfish move and not the right time or place for her to be doing that. And it infuriated me because if you pan the crowd, you'll see some of the actors and actresses weren't amused because they didn't come there to talk about politics. They came there to win an award, something they achieved. She took that away from them. And that's what bothered me. I felt bad for some of them. I said, you know, some of these guys and men and women, they actually really did. You know, I make a joke like, oh, it's just easy. It probably isn't easy. I've never acted or did any of that. It probably is very hard. But you took away their thunder. And it bothered me. And it just really hit a sore spot. But the whole thing with I have shortness of breath, excuse me a second. With George Clooney and Rosie O'Donnell, that really set me off because they said they were going to go on strike. And it's like, here's another fan. I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, you guys are pathetic. You're arrogant. You know, you didn't get your way. Well, I'm sorry, you know. And for you to say, and the other ones that say they're going to leave the country, that's another baby move. You know, that's a traitor move. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't get your way, so you're going to flee the country that made you? You know, regardless, even if Hillary won and they said that about Trump, like, I'm leaving because Hillary won. Well, you're a traitor. You know, you didn't get your way. I feel sorry for you. Boo-hoo. How many times, you know, a lot of people don't get their way. There's sick kids that don't get their way every day. There's people that are injured from war. They come home, they don't get their way. It's just, I don't know. It just gets under my skin with that. And
I agree. I feel it's an abuse of power. I feel it's actual, as an actress myself, and also as a licensed psychotherapist, it's an abuse of power. If these were teachers telling their students who they voted for or what they shouldn't. If these are doctors, a therapist, a principal, actors, or people, they're looked up to. If you want to admit, if you want to say your opinion, do it in a forum where people can hear it. But don't do it where you're, you know, really shocking and getting to just do it for a shock value. If you want to educate people about your stance, go ahead. Everyone has the right to do that. But to do it in a way where you know people are so, you know, in awe, or you will, you know, influence them just because of your power and your status, that is unfair and unethical.
You're absolutely 100% correct. I can't even, you just hit it right on the head with that. Absolutely. It is 100% an abuse of power. And they should be ashamed of themselves for that. They really should. And that's why I said how Hollywood should stay out of politics. Like, there's an article where Mark Wahlberg, I shared it on my wall, he said, you know, actors and actresses should really stay out of politics. And he gave a little speech about it, and he was correct. He was 100% correct. That's why I'm a fan of the guy. Regardless what your political view is, you're going to ruin it. You know, sometimes actors and actresses are out of reality with the normal everyday person. You know, they have to get up every day, go to work. They get their hands dirty. You know, they can't come home. They're forced on overtime. They have to work two jobs. They have to do this. And you're over here saying, you know, oh, I'm against Trump. I'm against this. I'm against that. Well, how about this? How about the carrier air conditioning crew that Trump just kept in? Now there's, what, 1,200, 1,300 people still have their jobs? Carrier was out of here. They were leaving for Mexico. They handed everybody a layoff slip. He kept them here. So now those 1,200 people are all, yes, Trump, you know, oh, my God, he saved 1,200. He saved our jobs. We could still work. We could still put gifts under the Christmas tree. I could still pay my bills. And then here comes this actor or actress. I'm anti-Trump. What do you think that person's going to do? He's going to boycott your stuff. He's going to say, well, you know what? You're out of reality, man. This guy just saved my job. You know, and I'd say the same thing if Hillary won. If Hillary saved jobs or Hillary did, they should stay out of politics. They should just, you know, voice your opinion. But when you're that powerful or you have that many eyes on you and you're living well off, you got to watch what you say, because you don't know if half your fans are Trump supporters. You don't know if half your fans are Hillary supporters. You can lose fans. And if you brush it off like you don't care, well, you'll watch your career decline real quick. And you could see it. There's a couple of liberal actresses that you don't even hear about anymore because they constantly voice their opinion out there. Their career is dead. Cher, Barbara Streisand, like they care, but still, their career is toast. Where are they going to film anymore? They're done. You know, and I found that article very intriguing. Like you said, it's an abuse of power, too. They're trying to manipulate you, trying to coerce you into it, and it's just, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. So.
And I think, you know, as my radio show and also my television show and also in my private practice, I do not share who I voted for. I do not share my personal opinions. I don't say, oh, this is horrible, this person's great, this is that. On my personal page, maybe every once in a while I will bring something up, but I never attack anybody. And I always say everyone has a right to their viewpoint. Please do not attack me. Do not debate me. Do not negotiate me. This is something I'm posting. But I don't use any of my platforms for people to convince people, because if no one's, this is my opinion, people have their opinions. I think that's where there's so much problems in this world. I think that's why so much, you really show the reality of these different viewpoints, but then you also have a comedic spin on it so people can laugh. And I love the ones when your wife is in the background. She's a good sport. She takes a lot.
Yeah, that poor woman goes through hell with me, I tell you. I keep her entertained, though. She does. She gets mad sometimes. She gets very mad at some of this stuff, you know, and I just laugh. I'm like, that is what it is. And I go in the next room, and she's like, cut it out, you know. And she catches me doing silly things like wearing oven mitts while snow blowing, because I didn't have any gloves that fit, and I couldn't find any in the house. So I put on oven mitts. in the door and sees me wearing oven mitts. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do?
And I like the one where you did women. We just recently had that big snowstorm in New York, and they were posting pictures of the snowstorm.
Yeah, I put the picture. Well, you know what it is? It says, "Show us your snow apocalypse pictures." Show us, like, the news always promotes or makes things bigger than what they seem, and it just gets me crazy. It's like, all right, relax. It's snow. We go out there, we shovel it, we go to work in it. Stop. But then they go, show us your pictures of what you're doing on your snowy days. I put up the picture of the TV set with Pornhub, like just joking around. Everybody's got pictures of their dogs, kids making snowmen, wives out there. And here's me, with a picture of Pornhub. But the part that really got her mad was my foot was in the bottom of the picture, and she didn't think it was my foot. She thought it was like something else in my underwear. So that's where she got mad. She's like, you take that down now. I'm like, why? I'm not taking that. And that's why I started laughing so hard in the video, because it really was my foot. It was on the ottoman sticking up, but on the bottom part of it. So she's telling me, she's like, all these people on Long Island are going to see that. They're going to think it's my foot. I'm telling you, it's my foot. And it just,
it's
both of us couldn't stop laughing.
Remember, you know, you remind me a lot of, remember those 90s when they used to do those crank phone calls and it was on the radio and they would have all those funny phone call, they call people.
Oh, the jerky boys. Yeah, the jerky boys.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, the jerky boys. Yeah, I don't know where they are. I haven't heard from them in a long time. I don't know what happened to them. They were funny back then.
That's when you
are.
Could prank people. Now you can't prank people. Everyone can find out who you are.
Well, yeah. Back then they didn't have half the technology we have now. You call anybody now, the cops will be at your door locking you up. You can't do that.
Yeah, you almost kind of like, that was like childhood fun. I know, you know, we didn't do anything horrible pranking, like your refrigerator's running or, you know, silly knock-knock jokes or silly, like, giggling or breathing on the phone. You know, when you're little, those things are funny. But I think those things, you know, now kids don't do any of that type of fun stuff. You can't, technology kind of ruined it for everybody.
It did ruin it. And you know what else it ruined? I noticed that you don't see that many kids out playing anymore. And I blame the internet for that as well. I mean, we used to go down the street. I mean, Long Island, New York. There'd be kids outside playing hockey with hockey nets out in the street, or riding dirt bikes or quads, or playing basketball or football. You don't see that anymore. You do not see it at all. It's either on a soccer field where there's all these adults around, like everything's over guarded. Where when we grew up, I don't even think my mother checked on it. Run out the door, you know, and we knew to get back by the time the lights get, you know, the street lights went out. If those street lights went out and we weren't home, whew, we used to know the sound of my father's car, distinct sound of my mother's car, and we used to know the headlight design with the turn signals. And me and my brother would look and be like, oh, that's mom coming down the block. Start running. I'll beat you there. We get there, we can just act like we came home before they left, like right after they left. We're like, all right. And we beeline for the house. Because you get it. But they didn't check on you all day. You know, there was no cell phones. There was none of that. You went out, you played, you came home.
Yeah.
But today,
and everything was fine.
Yes, everything was very fine. You know, you used to get in fights out there. You'd get... You know, either you come home, you get beat up by another kid, you come home, your parents would just look at you, be like, well, what'd you do? That's the first thing they come out with. What'd you do? I didn't do it. I swear to God. You know, and just today everything's just over-pampered and over-protected, and I think it's taken away from the childhood of the children today. And I try to raise the kids more of get out, let's do something, come on, you know, get away from the TV. But, you know, it's a hard effort. You try anyway.
Yes, that's the best you do. Well, Peter, we're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to thank you again. It was such a pleasure to have you on my show. I have not stopped laughing since you called in.
Oh, thank you, and I hope to talk to you again. And
I'd love to have you back.
Yes, anytime, just let me know. I'm around, and... You know, stay tuned. I got a lot more stuff coming up that I pre-recorded that I didn't even put up yet. So a lot
of good
stuff.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, no problem. Okay, well, you have a great day then. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to Insight into Healing. You can again find us on Facebook at insightintohealing/facebook.com. Everyone, thank you so much. Have a good night, and God bless.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do